Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Look at verse 59, Acts chapter 7, 59 and 60. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we ask you for mercy. I ask you, Lord, to bless your word. And I pray, Father, that you would touch every heart and life that's here. If there is a soul in the sound of my voice that is lost and on the road to hell and needs to be saved, I pray, God, you'd touch their hearts today. Help them to know it. I pray for each of us that are children of God and are saved, that you would touch our hearts, that we would be drawn closer to you. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there are an awful lot of doctrines. Some of them are good and some of them are bad. Good and bad doctrines have gathered around Jesus Christ all through the centuries. There are some that say that Jesus was only a man, nothing more than a man, just a good man or a good teacher. There's some that say he was God and he really wasn't in the flesh. He was just all spiritual. And then there's some that say he's no God at all. He's a son of God, maybe. He's like a prophet. He is a brother of Satan. There's just a thousand different ideas that people have about Jesus Christ. I want you to know something. Jesus was a man. He was fully man, totally man, completely man. But I want to speak to you this morning on another subject. He's God. Jesus Christ is God. Now, there's some scholars and some professors and some teachers and writers of books that would say there's no claim in the Bible that Jesus was God. But there is. The Bible claims and says it very clearly. In fact, the verse I just read to you made it as plain as it can be. Look at verse 59. And they stoned Stephen. Now, Stephen's been preaching to them. This is one of the deacons, one of the original deacons. And this was a preaching deacon. This old boy could preach. That's right. And he didn't mind preaching. And he stood up and he was preaching. And he was, you read his sermon, I mean, he was harder than Lindell ever got. That's right. And of course, they killed him. I'm still alive. Maybe that's the reason. But anyway, they're stoning Stephen. And they could not stand what he was saying to them and how he was hitting them. And would you notice what it says? And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Amen. Now, what did he call God? Lord Jesus. If you know how to read 12th grade English or 8th grade English, you can figure that much out. I want you to know something. What God did for us in Christ Jesus could not have been done by any mere man. And I want you to know something else. God Almighty loved you. God loved you so much that He became a man. There are wicked angels. There are sinful angels. There is no salvation for angels. There is no forgiveness for angels. You know why? Because God never took upon Himself the nature of an angel and died in their place. But you, if you're here today, I want you to understand the only way you can be saved is that God took upon himself human flesh, became a man, and died as a man in your place. But it was God that did it. It was God that did it. God Almighty is who Jesus Christ is in the flesh. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Do you think Stephen knew who he was talking to? You think he knew who he was praying to? Do you think Luke, when he wrote it down, recognized the words and that those words had meaning? I guess he did. Now, I want you to notice that God is the Creator. Take a look at the book of Acts again. And in chapter 4 and verse 24. The disciples had been rebuked for preaching in the name of Jesus. They had been rebuked because a great miracle had been performed. And so they were an embarrassment to the Sanhedrin and to the leaders. And so they went back to their own company after they had been rebuked. Peter told them, they told him, "You can't preach in that name anymore." And he said, "Well, I got to obey God rather than men." And so they went back to their own company, and notice what they said. Verse 24. "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is.'" Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe God made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Now turn to the first chapter of the book of John. John chapter 1, and we'll just read 3 verses. You can read about 14, be real good, but I'll stick to 3 this morning. "In the beginning was the Word." It's capitalized, by the way. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." According to the Scripture, when you look in the book of Acts, as Peter and the other apostles are gathering together after they had been rebuked, when they got with the Christians, they talked to God, and when they talked to Him, "You're the one that made everything." That's the God he's talking about. Did you notice what it is right here? It says, "All things were made by Him." That's Jesus. Read chapter 1 of the book of John. That's Jesus. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." You want to know who the Creator God is? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator God. Now look at Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6. Every new translation of the Bible has a purpose. Most of the time that purpose is to change the words of this Bible. Oh, they're not really wanting to go back to the Greek so much. They're not really wanting to go back to the Hebrew. And it's not going to help you if you go back. I've been there. It's not going to help you much. You know what they're wanting to do? They're wanting to change words that are offensive to them. They don't like this translation because they have doctrine they want to prove that this translation gives them a hard time on. You can take the Jehovah's Witness Bible, and they've changed it a good bit. I think it's called a New World Translation. The last one, at least, I know about. They changed many, many verses in the Bible to suit their own doctrine. But don't be misled. Every new modern translation out there, if you know enough, you can see what group translated it. Because they're changing words to fit their doctrine. But I'm going to give you 2 verses right now you ought to mark down in your Bible, and you ought to put a little note about it on the side where you could find it anytime you get a hold of a Jehovah's Witness and they're talking to you. Turn to Isaiah 44:6 and read it with me. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." They forgot to change this one. It's the same. And when I ask them, and when I take them with their Bible, and I say, "Well, let's go look at this right now. Who is this?" They say, "Jehovah." I said, "I agree with you. I agree with you. That is Jehovah." Now turn to Revelation chapter 1. Verses 17 and 18. You need to put these two together. Give you a lot of understanding. A little bit of help. John is talking. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. By the way, if you're one of those sinners that thinks I'm going to get up to God and tell the old man off, you're going to do just what John did. You're going to fall at his feet as dead. You won't stand in his presence. Not very long. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not, I am the first and the last. How many first and last can you have? Huh? After I read Isaiah 44:6 to them, I tell you, and they say, that's Jehovah. I said, that's right, that's good. Well, come here and look at this verse. This one says, I am the first and the last. How many can you have? Only one. Well, who is this one? You know what it says? And behold, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. When did Jehovah die? Who is this? Jesus. How can you miss it? You know what? When they were translating that, they didn't change these two verses. They're still in the New World Translation. Last time I looked. Do you know who Jesus is? He's God. The Jehovah of the Old Testament was revealed as Jesus of the New Testament. Jesus is God. And when you understand that, you understand you need Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, no man can come to the Father but by me. You talk about making a very exclusive statement. That is a very exclusive statement. You don't get to God through Mary or through the saints. You don't get to God through Buddha. You don't get to God through transcendentalism or meditation. You get to God through Jesus Christ, or you don't get to God at all. There is no other Savior. There is no other person qualified to die in your place. Any other man that would have died for you would have simply died in vain. He could not conquer death, sin, hell, and the grave and bring back his life again after he'd gone down there because every other man was contaminated. But God, in his love and in his mercy, took upon himself human flesh, became a man like you in the likeness of sinful flesh. He never sinned. But in the likeness of sinful flesh, he lived a perfect life, completed the law, offered himself as a sacrifice to God. He died and he rose again. There's salvation, but it's in one mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. Now look at Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. See if we know who's talking here. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Look at this, verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. How many times do you have to be told it before you believe it? Who's talking? Look at verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, whosoever will come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I am the first. I am the last. Beside me there is no God. I am the first. I am the last. I am he that was dead and is alive again and forevermore. It's Jesus, my friend. Amen. Jesus Christ is God. Look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Very interesting passage. Prophecy. 600 or 700 years before Jesus Christ. Beautiful, beautiful prophecy. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Did you notice that list? Amen. Take a look at that list. That ought to sort of open your mind up a little bit. That ought to make you see that Jesus is more than just a teacher. Jesus is more than just a man. He's more than just a sacrifice. He's more than just a substitute. He says right there, we got a child is born. That's Jesus. A son is given. That's Jesus. The government shall be upon his shoulder. That's Jesus. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. That's Jesus. Notice what it says, the Mighty God. The Mighty God. I want you to know the Bible very clearly makes this declaration that Jesus Christ is God. Man, not only stops with the Mighty God, we've got this, the Everlasting Father. Now, that doesn't blow the hat off of your head. Jesus is the Father. In fact, if we go over to Colossians 2:9, you'll find a tremendous statement. Colossians 2:9. Talking about Jesus Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him. Do you realize the importance of that one verse? Think about what it's saying to you. In Jesus Christ dwells and continues to dwell all of the fullness of the Godhead, the triune God, bodily. In that body walking around, Jesus Christ. In Him dwelleth all the fullness. We don't have in Jesus only a part. Oh, well, you've just got the Son. You've just got the servant. You just got the sacrifice. No, that's not what He says. The doctrine of Paul is that in Jesus Christ dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God came to earth. God became a man. God died in your place. And when you call upon God, you can do just like Stephen and say, Lord Jesus. Look back at John chapter 14. A very interesting passage. I'm going to read three verses. One of them is very, very familiar to you. John 14:6. Many of you have it memorized. You've seen it on tract after tract after tract. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That definite article says there's only one. They're not one of many. It's the only way. I am the way. I am not a way. I am the way. I'm not a truth. I'm not part of the truth. I'm not most of the truth. I am the truth. And He said, I am the life. Back over in John chapter 1, it would say life came from Jesus Christ. If you'd have read those first 14 verses, you'd have found out life came from Jesus Christ. He said, I am the life. If you have physical life today, it's this gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have spiritual life today, it's the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ today. If you've got life, it's because God gave you life. He said, if ye had known Me, you should have known My Father also, and from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Okay, Lord, let's see the Father. That'll be plenty. You just show Him to us. Look at verse 9. Jesus said unto Him, how have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that hath seen Me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? All the fullness of the Godhead bodily resided in Jesus Christ. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you realize what happened to you when the Holy Spirit came into you? Jesus said, I and my Father will come and live with you. You have all of God in you, too. Turn to the 20th chapter of the book of John. And look at verse 28. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. I don't know about you, but Jesus is my Lord. Amen. And Jesus is my God. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 20, 28. Very interesting passage if you just notice the words. Take heed, he's talking to the elders of the church in Ephesus. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. What's the name of the church? It's not the church of Jesus, it's the church of God. But wait a minute. When did God die? On the cross of Calvary. That was God's blood. That was God. That's what it says right here. Do you believe the book? I do. I personally believe the book. I get my doctrine from the book. I don't have my doctrine and prove it by the book. I get my doctrine from the book. And when my doctrine does not fit the book, I change my doctrine. I don't change the book in order for it to fit my doctrine. He said, the church of God, which he, God, hath purchased with his own blood. That's Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ God? He is God. Very clearly, he is God. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Start back at verse 10. Acts 4:10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I think he's making it pretty clear, isn't it? By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. You may feel a little troubled at work or with your family when you have to confess this. It may bother your conscience a little bit, saying, well, you think I'm the only one? You think I'm the only one that's right? You think Jesus is the only way? Well, I believe he's the only way. Amen. I don't believe you stand a chance any other way in the world, whatever religion it might be, however sincere they may be, however kind and good and how many good works that they may do. Neither is there salvation in any other. If we're talking about the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sin, your acceptance by God before the courts of heaven, your justification before the law of heaven, there's only one name. There's just one name. If you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved by the name of Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, who shed his blood and died for you upon Calvary's cross. Without him, you don't stand any chance whatsoever. You have no hope. Why do we give so much money to missions? You know why? They don't have any hope any other way. You say, what if they've never heard? Then they don't have the remedy. Well, surely if they've never heard, God will understand. No, according to my Bible right here, there is only one way. Now, you can accept the Bible or you can reject it, but that's what the Bible teaches. I believe the Bible. I don't believe there is any other way for those Poles to hear unless they hear about Jesus Christ. I don't think those Mexicans stand a chance without hearing about Jesus Christ. I don't think the American Indians stand a chance without hearing about Jesus Christ. I don't think the Aztecs stood a chance without hearing about Jesus Christ. And I don't think you stood a chance without hearing about Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God took upon Himself human flesh. God took upon Himself the position of a man. And God went to the cross of Calvary to die in your place. That sacrifice there. Praise God. In Him, Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God visited earth and God visited you. You know, my friend, if I had given my son to save your life, and when you heard about it, you scoffed, made fun of it, made jokes about it, and ignored it, what do you think I would do? You better think about that. I have a fellow who's been writing me recently, and he's done a lot of slandering of what I think were probably good men. Maybe not saved men, but just good men. You realize a lot of things you say about people are slanders. Now, I'm just a pastor of a small church, but I've been slandered by my friends. You can get slandered pretty easily. People can say things that just aren't true and give you a real bad rap. What do you think God thinks about the way you think? Have you ever considered it? I'm sitting here insulting God and His offer of love. And I expect Him to respect my opinion. If I had given my son, and by the way, I just want you to understand, I wouldn't have given one of my sons. I wouldn't have given one of my daughters for all of you. I don't have that much love. I guarantee you, I don't love you that much. But God did. But God did. And you think you can just ignore that truth, that revelation, and walk up before God in your own filth, in the selfishness of your mind, in the wickedness of your life, and you think you stand a chance when you ignore the sacrifice of the blood of God? The church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. I gave you a piece of advice. You better fall down on your face and ask for mercy. Amen. You better take a look at what the message that God has given and the trouble He's gone to bring it to you. At the preacher after preacher, prophet after prophet, Christian after Christian, tract after tract, sermon after sermon, you've been privileged to hear when some people in this world have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. And they're not lost because they haven't heard the name of Jesus. They're already lost. Not hearing the name of Jesus does not make them lost. They're born that way. They live that way. You know, we say that sweet little baby, chooses self as soon as it's born. And that sweet little baby is going to choose wickedness as soon as it gets a chance. And the only help that sweet little baby is going to have is he has some parents that try to help him or her to combat that selfishness and that sin. You heard the name of Jesus Christ. Preacher after preacher has preached to you. you're lost and this world is lost, whether you like it or not. This whole world lies under sin. This whole world is in rebellion against God. Even the most religious people on the face of the earth. God made a way. But there is only one way. Do you know missions is a very expensive affair? Have you ever thought about how much it costs to get one convert? Oh, it's a very expensive affair. How much money is spent in advertising, in tracts, in manpower, in effort, in gasoline, in shoe leather? To get one convert. Do you realize how much money is invested in this little church to reach you? But you see, my Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The value of one soul is worth more than the world's wealth. So with an attitude from the Word of God, with an attitude towards salvation of a lost soul, God put out the effort, we put out the effort, that you might find Christ. Now in eternity, I'm going to be really thankful. I'm very thankful right now, but I'm going to be more thankful. When this whole thing wraps up, and I'm sitting with Jesus, saved, forgiven, cleansed, changed, blessed. Are you going to be with me? Are you saved? Brian talked about coming down several times to get saved. It doesn't matter how many times you come, just as long as you get it done right once. Just be sure you get it done right once. Don't you be playing around with something like that. You know, I am married to a 70-year-old grandmother. I'm still in my 60s. She robbed the cradle. My daddy had to give me permission to get married. She didn't have to get permission. She was a grown woman. She robbed the cradle. Do you know what I know I'm married? Do you know how I know? I made a decision one day. I said, will you marry me? It was on Thursday night. I said, will you marry me? Let's get married Saturday. She said, okay. We've been dating 2 years. Don't think about it. It wasn't so quick off the thing. We went up before a preacher, and he said, will you take her? And I said, yes. And she said, will you take him? She said, yes. And that was it. Now, I do remember the day and the hour. I do remember the day and the hour. But a decision was made, and my life was changed, and her life was changed. Amen. There was a day when I knew I was a sinner, on the road to hell. And God struck me, I needed to be saved. And though I wasn't quite 21 years old, I knew I could die. Because one of my friends took my truck and died on my truck. My run. Burned up and died. And that's in my mind. I can die. Where are you going to go when you die? Saw the other day, a kid got on a motorcycle, rode out there and hit a van. He wasn't planning on going to eternity. He didn't have any plans on that. He didn't have a plan on a wreck. But he didn't have a helmet on, and he didn't have four wheels and two fenders on each side of him. And he went out to meet God unexpected. I've sat in a lot of hospital rooms. I've talked to a lot of people dying in my life of 49 years of preaching the gospel. You know, most of them don't expect to die. They expect to live tomorrow. They expect to live tomorrow. Most of you plan on being alive tomorrow. That's no guarantee. This may be the last invitation you ever hear. This may be the last time any preacher ever says, repent of your sins, and right now, call upon God and ask for mercy. Ask Him to save your soul. Maybe the last time you ever hear it. It could easily be the last time I'll ever give it. But oh, my friend, I want you to know I'm still giving it. And I plan to keep on giving it as long as I got sense enough to do it. My Bible says Jesus Christ is God, and that God took upon Himself your flesh, lived that flesh perfectly before the law of God, and died in your place. And He says, for whosoever, I love that word. One of my favorite words in all the Word of God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I checked my name off on this thing over here. It's all right, still burning. I checked my name off. Well, one day I wrote my name into that whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, if Lyndall Kincaid shall call upon the name of the Lord, Lyndall Kincaid shall be saved. 49 years ago he did it. I'm more proud of it today than I was then. Would you come to Jesus Christ and be saved? The love of God constrains me to appeal to you. Repent of your sins and call upon Jesus Christ as your Savior. My Christian friend, you have a burden upon your heart, this altar is open. Let's stand and sing number 249.